It's the first day of spring, which means we've made it through another Wisconsin winter. We humans aren't the only species who need the right habitat during the winter months. Take bass and bluegill, for example, who like to winter in Mississippi River backwaters. They need the water to be around a certain temperature for a cozy winter season. Our next guest has been tracking these conditions and finding that climate change and other human influences on the river have created challenges for this specific ecosystem. Sean Giblin is a water quality specialist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources based in La Crosse. Sean, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Paint us a picture of this unique Mississippi River backwater ecosystem you're studying around, I think, Alma it is.
Yeah, so, you know, what we've been seeing lately, too, you know, and just sort of the basic biology of, you know, some of these backwater fishes on the Mississippi River, too, you know, they need water that's warm enough, especially the backwater fishes, but with adequate oxygen too. So it's, you know, there's a very narrow band of conditions that they can tolerate, you know, kind of what we call sort of the Goldilocks zone, where we have, you know, water that's warm enough, but still with adequate oxygen. You know, it's really over the last couple of decades too, you know, just the increasing discharge we're seeing on the Mississippi River, is making this habitat type increasingly scarce.
When I think of climate change and it's affecting the animal population, I think, oh, well, that means the water's warming up and that's bad for them for some reason. It's actually a little more complicated than that. Can you connect the dots between the impacts of climate change and what's happening, as you mentioned, that water flow through and how it's affecting the habitat?
Yeah. So, you know, in this case, you know, it's a little paradoxical too, where it's, you know, really it's the volume of water that we're having trouble with too. You know, if you look at the Winona gauge, just north of La Crosse, I think from 1929 to 1980, you know, we never exceeded a mean annual discharge of 45,000 CFS, 1929 to 1980, you know, really since 1980, you know, we've exceeded that threshold, 12 times, and seven of those have been since 2010. You know, and really that's a problem too, because, you know, a lot of these backwaters are connected to channel habitat, you know, and that channel habitat, you know, the water is quite cold in January. So, yeah, typical January water temperature at a channel is, you know, very close to 0 degrees Celsius too. So, you know, with these backwater fishes needing slightly warmer water, you know, 1 degree Celsius or higher, you know, we're just pumping too much of that cold channel water into these backwaters, you know, making the habitat unsuitable.
Now, in your study, I read that, you know, in normal natural circumstances, there might be ways that a habitat like this could recover itself. But the Mississippi River is not exactly a natural environment when it comes to water flow. We do a lot of management. Is that making it harder for this ecosystem, this backwater ecosystem, to recover?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, sort of a feature of, you know, kind of what we've done to the river, you know, the locks and dams, the navigation channel, you know, it's, you know, the river really, you know, doesn't have the capacity that it once had to, you know, to really rebuild these habitats. So, you know, really it's up to us to sort of assist kind of in building these habitats for fish and wildlife on the Mississippi River.
What would that look like?
You know, many times, you know, it's fairly simple, you know, in these type of scenarios. So for instance, one of these backwaters where we might have too much cold water, you know, moving into this backwater complex, you know, it would be as simple as sort of, you know, shunting some of that flow, you know, into that backwater, you know, to get that right mix of, you know, we're metering in enough of that colder, high oxygen water, but not too much. So, you know, and, you know, in other cases, it could be things like, you know, enhancing the water depth too, but, you know, sometimes it's quite simple. It's just a matter of, you know, changing the level of connection between channels and backwater habitats.
What kind of species are we particularly worried about here?
You know, what we're talking about in this report, you know, is mostly the backwater fish. So these are a lot of the fish that people like to catch, you know, the bass, bluegill, you know, northern pike, yellow perch, crappie, you know, a lot of the sort of high value game fish, you know, which is, you know, people, you know, really like to go out to fish for those species in the wintertime.
Are we starting to see more difficult fishing already, or is this something you're worried about down the road?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's starting to, you know, our fisheries folks are sort of looking at some of these trends too, but, you know, it's like you look at, you know, in general, sort of like, you know, a number of these backwater complexes that we looked at, you know, in this recent report too, that have, you know, really been unsuitable, you know, particularly during, you know, that decade of 2010 to 2020, where it was just, you know, incredibly, you know, almost 90th percentile flows for that entire decade too. You know, you just look at those habitats that are unsuitable too. So, you know, we are starting to kind of look at sort of the long-term effects of this in terms of overall kind of biodiversity and, you know, these game fish populations on the Mississippi.
Talking to Sean Giblin from the Wisconsin DNR, looking at Mississippi River backwaters here in Wisconsin, important habitats, as you just heard, for some very popular fish here in the state, threatened in part because of the indirect effects of climate change. Sean, when you're talking about higher levels of flow, is this, you know, a lot more rain, a lot more precipitation, or is it also what we're doing with development in the overall watershed?
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit of both, but, you know, I think the predominant driver is just more precipitation. You know, if we look at that 2010 to 2020 period, you know, a typical, you know, annual rainfall here in La Crosse, you know, slightly over 30 inches, you know, that decade, you know, the average was, you know, 40 inches plus, you know, so, you know, the big driver is just more precipitation throughout the year.
Is this something that, you know, I mean, I've spent time on backwaters in your neck of the woods. Can we see the difference from decade to decade?
In terms of
just visually, would it look different to me if I visited 10 years ago versus now?
Yeah, you know, I think you'd be able to see, you know, just sort of visible velocity moving through these systems too. So it's, you know, we measure something called water residence time, which is the time and days that it takes to flush completely new water into it. So, I mean, in some ways you can see it visually, but in some ways you sort of have to, you know, kind of use, you know, the scientific techniques that we use to observe it.
On a practical level, if we want to do some of the remediation techniques you were talking about earlier, who does that? Who would be in charge of actually implementing things and paying for it?
Yeah, so, you know, we have a couple of restoration programs on the river. You know, there's the Upper Mississippi River Restoration Program, you know, that does projects like this too. You know, there's a number of, you know, complexes, you know, that are actually featured in the report we just released. You know, they're in the queue for restoration efforts too. But, you know, what we're seeing is, you know, is it just the sheer magnitude of these areas that are under stress. You know, it's, you know, we certainly need, you know, more resources than we are to, you know, to really keep pace with the degradation we're seeing too. So, you know, it's a matter of sort of, there are programs in place, but, you know, it's just the funding levels that, you know, need to keep pace with the stressors, frankly.
Now, as I mentioned, it's the first day of spring. What are you watching for this time of year to see how these different fish species made it through the winter?
Yeah, so, you know, this is about the time of year too, where you'll start to get some of these fish kill reports. You know, the ice comes off too, and to basically look at, you know, kind of, you know, the reports of, you know, various areas where the fish didn't make it through the winter will start to come in too. And, you know, what we did earlier this winter, you know, was sort of look at a number of these backwaters kind of early in the winter and then late in the winter, you know, to look at things like dissolved oxygen and, you know, and how conditions held up too. But, you know, this is typically, you know, the time of year we'll start to get reports of fish kills, you know, in areas that, you know, the fish succumb to those stressful conditions.
Is this something where you're looking for some citizen science? If people are out there fishing, if they see something, say something to you?
Yeah, you know, we always like to get reports in terms of what's going on too. You know, one thing about the, you know, the river rats on the Mississippi, you know, they tend to be a really observant crowd too. So, you know, I'll get a lot of sort of observations throughout the year. You know, they're really, you know, quite helpful in terms of, you know, just, you know, general sort of people, you know, seeing, you know, this changing, that changing, you know, it's quite helpful. You know, a lot of people over here, you know, the rivers, you know, it's a big part of their life too. So it's, you know, they're quite invested in it, you know, really aren't afraid to tell us about what they're seeing out there.
What's the next step for your research, Sean?
Yeah, I think it's sort of these applied areas too. You know, we've kind of spent, you know, the last several years kind of, you know, kind of looking at some of these areas, you know, where we know we can apply the science to improve conditions. So, you know, really the next steps are, you know, really just kind of moving, you know, that science, you know, into action, you know, through these restoration projects. You know, there's sort of a number of them that we looked at, you know, pretty early in this process that are, you know, now in the queue for projects too, which is, you know, encouraging. But, you know, at the same time, you know, where there's any number that are sort of declining as we speak too. So it's, you know, it's going to take a lot of effort to improve conditions.
And just briefly, are you hearing similar stories from colleagues in watersheds in other states in the Upper Mississippi?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you know, this is something we talk about, you know, at sort of, you know, regional conferences on the river too. You know, it's definitely a trend we're seeing up and down the river too. You know, this increasing, you know, volume of water we're seeing is, you know, causing a whole array of stressors on the river too. So it's, yeah, I mean, it's generally sort of, you know, kind of five states sort of speaking in unison in terms of what we're seeing.
Sean, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
That's Sean Giblin, water quality specialist with the Wisconsin DNR. We talked to him today about research he's worked on looking at the effect of climate change on unique Mississippi River backwaters ecosystems near La Crosse.